Rachel. I'm a food addict and compulsive eater. And I think Barbara was going to share my pictures. There we go. This is recorded, so I usually narrate them a little bit. That is me. I've been abstinent since November of 2003. And I'm maintaining about a 90 pound weight loss. And then the next picture should be okay, that's another one of me. Right. And so I'm 5 foot 0 inches tall, so 90 pounds is a good proportion of my size again. And the next picture, okay, so the next picture shows two of the pants that I've worn in my lifetime. So the larger one on the bed is about a 22, and the smaller one, the purple one, is a 2. The larger one I wore back, when I was hitting my bottom in 2003, and the purple ones are from when I was in high school and I was bulimic. And right. And so you can show the next picture. That's my LinkedIn profile picture from about 5 years ago. And I don't usually look that polished. And then the next one is a more recent picture of me. So anyway, one thing that I'll say that I've been working the 12 steps for it'll be 31 years this month. So I came in through I don't know if you call it the side door or the back door of Alcoholics Anonymous. I come from a family of food addicts going back generations on both sides of my family. My father died of obesity 15 years ago, and my mother passed away in March from the all her health issues were came from being a food addict. She was a restrictor, but most of the time she was obese. So she had type 2 diabetes, end stage heart disease, vascular dementia, and some cirrhosis in the liver. Food was just such a massive part of my family. And I remember from a young age, that I realized that food was more important to me than it was to my friends. And, I always wanted to fit in with my friends, and so that bothered me. So I recognized that from a young age. I remember when my grandmother died, which was in, I was in college, and we were at the house, and I just said to my mom, Mom, I can't stop eating from, because of course there were tons of food. And she said, well, wait till your grandmother died. So, I mean, that was supposed to be how we dealt with our feelings was to eat. I, my, the, I started dealing with the obesity, not really until I put down the drugs and alcohol. And this is an OA meeting, but I will just mention that my drug of choice was amphetamine, and I used it to try to control my food addiction. And once I really hit bottom when I was 29 with drugs and alcohol, but as soon as I got clean and sober, I gained 50 pounds right away. So I was maybe, 10, 15 pounds overweight, and then, oof, 50 pounds. The eating just, it got to be a lot worse. So, just to give you history, jumping back, I know that when I was 12, I asked my mother, I wanted to lose 10 pounds. And I asked her how, and she said, here's a calorie counting book. and you count your calories, and you should only eat between 800 and 1200 a day. So I did that and I lost the 10 pounds and I got a lot of, kudos for it. But that's really not a lot of food for a 12-year-old. So I did have, a hard time maintaining that. But I started really with this disordered food behavior when I was in high school. There'd been some trauma in my family when I was in ninth grade, and when I was in 10th grade, I restricted and dieted my way down to under 100 pounds, which isn't that small for someone my height, but it was just hard to maintain. And I can remember my parents were out of town for the weekend, and my brother and I were home, and we ate like a big bowl of food. And I was like, oh no, I was upset because I'd been restricting so well. And I went up and made myself throw up. And my brother was really upset. He's 3 years younger than me, and he told me never to do it again. But over the next year, it just became more and more frequent, and I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop eating, and at the time, I couldn't stop eating and purging. And I'm grateful that somehow, I didn't have the desire to keep doing this. After it got really bad after a year, I went to my guidance counselor and I said, I keep binging and making myself throw up every day after school and I can't stop. And she said, that's like more than I can help you with. Let me refer you to someone. So I did get some help so that the purging stopped when I was in college. But throughout college, although I wasn't purging, I was restricting, I was using amphetamine, I was would alternate between the periods of binging and the periods of dieting. And that actually continued until, for a long time. Throughout my 20s, I was more, the drugs really, the pills became really huge for me. Again, why I'm mentioning that again is because the interplay with my food addiction. So every single month, I would gain and lose 10 pounds for about 8 years. And that's really doesn't do wonders for your metabolism. I hit bottom with food, and for the first couple of years, I was back and forth. And actually, I also wanted to just say just something quickly about my college years, because my disease ha there was a progression, and I'd say I was robbed, but I liked where I went to school and everything, but I really don't have the, I can't look back on complete enjoyment of that time to look at, just because I was so ruled by my food addiction. And it was just always just obsessed, obsessed, obsessed. So anyway, my first 10 years of sobriety, I yo-yoed continuing, it was just a much bigger swing, up 30 pounds, down 40, up 50, and it was just increasingly getting worse and worse. And I met my husband and we got married. And then for the first couple of years of our marriage, which was we got married in the year 2000, I really, I hit 200 pounds, and I hit over 200 pounds, which was just, my feet were hurting all the time. My knees were hurting. It was just, I want to make sure I leave time to talk about my recovery. So anyway, my binges were just so huge. And I couldn't stop eating long enough to get hungry. I was having trouble fitting through the turnstile and the subway stop.
10 minutes.
Yep, thank you. So it just, and I just was so uncomfortable and miserable and in pain. And I just couldn't stop. I couldn't stop. And I was fortunate also in that I had a therapist who told me, I think you need to go away somewhere. So, and oh, and the other thing about my hitting bottom was I was 1 point away from being pre-diabetic. So, but since I got abstinent, my blood sugar is such that my doctor doesn't even check it every year anymore. But I was lucky because I found a place that was 12-step based in Florida, and I went down. So I did get abstinent in Florida. I went down there, and I was just done. I couldn't stand it anymore. I couldn't, and I didn't know how I was gonna not eat. I didn't know, but I just couldn't stand it anymore. And I was almost struck abstinent in a weird way, but well, maybe it's not weird. I don't know, but I got down there and I haven't had any sugar or flour, and I've weighed and measured every meal. Occasionally, if I'm out, I don't. Yeah, so one thing that was good about my having been in another 12-step program first was they already, I was familiar with the steps, and I was also really familiar with the concept of service. So, I got involved right away with, jobs and service that I could do. And I worked the steps a few times, in the other fellowship, but once I put down the food, I was able to really thoroughly I was able to much work the steps at a much deeper level. And my mother and I had a really unhealthy relationship, and unhealthy where we just had this unhealthy bond about like dieting and eating. And so it was really, if I wanted to really break the boundary and have as healthy as I could have a relationship with her, I really needed to just break that unhealthy bond that we had. And I mentioned that she just passed away. So, and the last few years of her life, I was in charge of her care. She died at home, and my brother, I have one brother and he lives across the country. So I was primarily responsible for her care. And I made sure she had the best of care. And that was possible because I have worked, done so much step work around our relationship. So I want to make sure I talk about the big book and about my service. So I'd been doing service at the group level. And then one day my sponsor said, our inner group is looking for someone to chair the retreat. And I strongly suggest that you do this. And I don't know, I was just brought up, if your sponsor strongly suggests that you do something, it's like not an option. So since then, that was about 2008, I've been doing a lot of service at the intergroup level. I've been chair of intergroup. I'm now a delegate to Region 6. And service has really gotten me through. The second year, 2009, when I was co-chairing the retreat for my second year, my father went in the hospital, and the leader of the retreat said, "You don't need to keep doing this." And I said, "Yes, I do. I do need to keep doing this right now." And so, I went on the retreat. And everybody at the retreat knew what I was going through. I came home and then he died a week later. And what's amazing to me is that I did not, it's not just I didn't find it necessary to pick up food, but I just didn't want to. I mean, it didn't even occur to me. And that's a miracle. 5 minutes, or is that it?
5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes now. Okay. So, is that it didn't occur to me to pick up food. And so I've worked the steps using the workbook, but I've also, about 15 years ago, I went to a big book weekend where we went through the big book line by line. And I had not worked the steps using the book, and I don't do the big book step study, but anyway, about 15 years ago, when I went to that workshop, it just totally changed my life. It just opened my eyes to, I was like, this is an amazing text. And I know when I first was introduced to it, I was like, oh, it's patriarchal. It was written by white men in the 30s, and it's all about God, and I don't believe in God. And it just was fully a gift, and I'm very happy that that I kept an open mind and an open heart, and was able to find, I don't know what to say. There's just something very, it helps me to connect with my higher power whenever I read from that book. So this is actually the second big book meeting I'm speaking at this week. And earlier in the week, I was at a meeting where they asked me to speak on step five, as it's written in the big book. And I never so I always do plenty of service, and I never stop working the steps. So I've been working the steps for 31 years, 21 years in this program. And I came back from a different retreat that I went on recently. That was the title of it was Improving Your Conscious Contact with God. And I, at the end of the retreat, I was like, my mother had just died, and I was angry, and I was just like, I'm an atheist. I don't know what's wrong with me. This retreat is not working. So my sponsor, again, it was like she strongly suggested I revisit step 11. So I've been doing writing on step 11, and it's again renewed my faith in my higher power. And also, as far as like doing a regular 10 steps, after going to the big book meeting I spoke at in the middle of the week, I was just there's something about, so I've been going through this big transition where, I'm trying to sell my childhood home and going through all these family photos and making display gallery walls, picking up photos to display. And so I've been, just sort of going through a lot and processing my childhood. And for some reason, this one huge lie that I told to my father when I was really active in my addictions, just started really tugging at my heartstrings. And I had to do a fifth step. So I did a fifth step with my sponsor, and it brought me such freedom, because I was really just in a lot of pain because of that. So gosh, am I out of time? I think I am.
One
So
minute.
1 minute. So yeah, so again, I'm just gonna say, don't let the big book, well, you're all here, so most of you, I think, are aware of how well it works for any addiction. But I just want to say that book, it doesn't matter what substance or which 12-step program you're talking about, that it comes at the core, and it's the foundation for me of everything. So that time went amazingly fast. I feel like I only said half of what I wanted to say, but anyway. Thank you. This is such a robust meeting. I'm really grateful I was invited here.